Well, here we go, round two. People sequestered, people inundated, everything that's going on. And in the midst of that, as we try to bring you some good news, I think the outdoors provides that again, because it may be your safest place to be this time of year. And who'd ever thought that and beyond? Joining us, the one and only Ron Sharon. Ron, I saw something today that I never thought I'd see. In downtown Minneapolis, on Nicollet Mall at Nicollet and 11th Street, there walked proudly, unabashedly, and without fear, a wild turkey.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, it's gotten to downtown Minneapolis.
Well, I think the turkeys decided that everybody left Minneapolis, so they might as well move in.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Why not, huh?
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's a good observation. Are you sure it was a turkey? Now, you know, I don't know how your bird ID are.
Yeah, you're right. It could have been a crow, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was funny because there are not many people downtown, of course, right now, but those that were all stopping, taking pictures of, you know, you got the ADS tower in the background, basically, and this guy's walking right through, and not even a second thought.
Was it a gobbler or a hen?
Gobbler.
I can't imagine what he's doing there. You know, they're starting to feel their testosterone.
Well, maybe he heard one of the restaurants had a turkey special, and he thought that meant a mate.
Well, you know,
he didn't know they were closed.
There you go.
And then he found out that you could get takeout, and he said, that's all I wanted anyway. I'm just talking, you know?
No, I think I'm with you here. Yeah. I think that's a great theory.
How are you doing? How have you been holding out since all of this?
Well, been hanging out of the house here. You know, I'm working on a book. I've got, you're not in it yet, but I've established a kind of a pay schedule, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So if you want to be in the book, you can send me a check.
And then it's more for a picture?
Oh, my, yes. It's 50 cents for your first name only.
So. Okay. And work from there?
Oh, yeah. It goes big time after that.
And you could Photoshop me with ducks or something like that, depending on what I'm willing to pay?
I'd have to Photoshop them, yeah.
So I miss you too. Have you been out walking or what do you do?
Yeah, well, today I burned some brush in the backyard. You know, I got so many trees. The wind comes up and I get all kinds of sticks and branches and stuff. So they went away today. Like I said, been working on the book. I've been playing with fishing tackle in the garage. I mean, that's the greatest salvation play with the fishing tackle, rearrange. I took a whole bunch of messy stuff in my garage and moved it all around, so now I got a new messy spot.
Okay, it's organized again in messiness, right?
Yeah, organization is not one of my skills. I'll just put it that way.
Mine neither. There's too many places in the garage. I can just throw it for now and say, yeah, I'll figure that out a little later.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of do that too. And of course, my wife wants me to just throw stuff away.
Boy, hey, I tell you, she is the one I'm feeling sorry for.
You can't throw stuff away, you know.
No, you never know when you're going to need it.
I might use these plastic worms. They've been here since 20 years ago, but I might use them. So there you go.
That's right, and I don't know when, but I need to know that I've got them here.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
So
anyway,
but you know, give us some pointers. I mean, what could the outdoor person do right now as the water continues to open on lakes and whatnot? I mean, I got to tell you, this is going to be one of the, as people want to do some activity, the outdoors are going to be one of the few things that really offers maybe a safe quality of life.
Well, yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I've always felt that way, but one of our guests later in the show, Eric Olson, is from Red Wing, is a professional walleye angler, and we're going to talk to him about something that always happens on the Mississippi River at this time of year, kind of catch up on the state of that right now. That's walleye fishing, sauger fishing in the Mississippi. That's open. You can go do it right now. And there's still ice fishing up north. This, you know, despite the warm, in fact, it's perfect you get a nice day out there. The ice is not going to go away overnight. You know, you always have to be careful regardless. But so there's things to do. Or like me, I've been playing with my fishing tackle. I even thought, geez, maybe I should go get my boat. You know,
yeah.
I could put it in the garage and just sit in it, you know. And
yeah, well, I mean, you'd catch just as many fish as he did last summer.
Now, that was a mean thing to say.
I know. God, it's funny, though.
I know. You're the only one laughing.
You get it? Because you wouldn't catch any either way. Get it?
Yeah. I think also, I'm going to throw this out. You know, I might go turkey hunting in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Minnesota opens up. You should come with me. You don't have anything to do.
I'm good. I'm ready to go, man. Are you going to the Black Hills, though, or where are you going?
I'm going to the Black Hills. I'd be happy to take you there.
Yeah. Hey, where'd Ron go? I'm up here. I haven't seen him for a couple of days.
we'll figure something out. I might, I'll go around locally here.
But there's no reason to believe that will be impeded at all. That should be business as usual, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a solitary sport for the most part. You can go with somebody. Some of you know, and I have not gone to our offices. I might go tomorrow because hardly anybody's there, and we'll see. I've got a couple things I could track, you know, but nothing urgent. You know, you just have to cool it here. It's not easy all the time. One thing about our business, you're a writer and I'm a writer. You always have some writing you can do or putz around. So, I'm like I said, I'm working on my book, and that helps me pass the time.
What would you recommend for people as they begin to give them something to look forward to? Would you, as far as fishing goes, how would you go about looking forward to something so your mind doesn't have to be trapped in this right now?
Well, listen, it won't be long. The ice is going to go off the lakes, and just as soon as it does, crappies start moving in, and you can get in your boat, you and one person, two people, go in your boat, don't hang around with everybody else, go catch some crappies, fillet them, eat them, that's doable. And then, of course, the fishing opener is coming down the track. My brother and a friend, they're thinking about going out to the Waihi Reservoir when they're watching for the weather. The walleye fishing has already started there. If you're in the outdoors, there's plenty to look forward to. Now, if you're a football fan or a baseball fan or a basketball fan, you got nothing to look forward to.
No.
Those games are gone. If you're in the Olympics, sounds like the Olympics is going to be postponed. But fishing's going to happen, and it's going to get better, for me anyway, when the ice goes out.
Now, I talked to somebody that's been chasing the snow goose as it comes up in South Dakota and said, you know, probably saw 400,000 or 500,000 birds, and we shot like 3. And I said, "How can that be?" And he says, "Don't ask." He says, "It's just so hard to hunt them, even though they're everywhere." But that is an activity that's going on right now.
Yeah, snow geese are very difficult to hunt. Most people don't understand that. You see them in these huge flocks, you think it'd be nothing. They are really difficult to hunt, and they look for huge flocks. You can't hardly put out enough decoys, and then when you do, sometimes the geese have no intentions of landing at that moment. They're going to go. They're heading for Manitoba or Ontario. I mean, you know, they're very difficult.
How much do you worry about the outdoor industry, though? The Cabela's and the stores all the way on down that make this is their livelihood.
Well, they're in the same boat as a lot of businesses are. You worry, nothing you can do about it. If the social thing kind of eases up, they're going to be all right. The boat folks and the tourism folks, the resort folks, they lost the Minneapolis Sports Show. That's always a huge time for them. So they'll make up for that, but more and more of their business is online. And so, it'll be all right. The big frustration for me right now, and I don't want to get political here, but our Senate in Washington D.C. they're acting like children again. The country is in desperate straits here for some kind of economic
And I'll be damned if they can figure it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, they go, really, and one side throws in, well, they want to do something about abortion, another side does something, they want to do something about the Green, you know, the Green Act or what. I go, really?
Yeah. Let's get jobs going. Let's get people making money. I hear you. I'm with you. Tell them who's on next, Ron.
Well, listen, as if we needed some more bad news, we're going to talk to our Minnesota DNR fishery chief, Brad about the recent news about Mille Lacs, which wasn't good. So
okay, that's coming up next. Sports to the Max takes a break for live outdoors, and we will lift your spirits one way or the other. That's all next right here on WCCO. Welcome back, live outdoors, News Talk 830 WCCO. Radio Rewind will take you there. Radio.com app. Ron Shearer and others joining us on the Home Service Hotline. Ron, tell us about our next guest.
Well, our next guest is very special. Brad Parsons, who he's where the buck stops when it comes to fishing success in this state. Brad is the Minnesota Fisheries Department or section. And Brad, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, Ron, and good to be here, Mike.
Thank you. Ron, go ahead.
Listen, well, we've had a lot of bad news with the virus and everything else, and then you folks a week or so ago had more bad news for walleye anglers or fans of Mille Lacs that would be only catch and release fishing from the get-go, from the opener, and then a July closure, no live bait, on and on and on. Brad, Before I get, go off here, you know, I'm very fond of you as the fishery chief, but so don't take whatever I say here the wrong way. But this has been going on now for 8 to 10 years with the Mille Lacs situation up and down, up and down, up and down. Do you see an end to this?
Well, yeah, I actually do, Ron, and I realize that these regulations are disappointing to a lot of people. I get that, believe me. And no, I won't take it personally. What happened this year was we had a winter of fishing up on Mille Lacs that was literally unprecedented. I mean, we had over 3 million hours of pressure. That's the most that's ever been seen up there, which is a great thing for all the businesses and stuff up there. I heard stories that you couldn't even get into restaurants and bars and aisle and stuff like that. So that's great. The problem with that is that we ended up harvesting as many fish this year as we did last winter and that May harvest season we had combined. So, you know, fishing is still really, really good on Mille Lacs, and I won't ever argue that. And the thing that bugs me the most is when people say that we say there's no walleyes left in the lake. That is not the case whatsoever. The fact of the matter, though, is that Mille Lacs, given its location, given the infrastructure around it, has this unique ability to bring in people. And they certainly did this year. Even if we had had a somewhat higher safe harvest level, I'm not entirely certain we would have been able to do anything differently in terms of the regulations.
Well, when you say a safe harvest level, compared to many, many years ago, this was peanuts for what they're taking out of that lake and what the lake was capable of producing for many, many years, 10, 15 years ago. Now suddenly we can't. But let me back up here.
Sure.
You estimated there were 30,000 pounds of fish caught and kept. Now, I don't know if that includes what you think is hooking mortality, but in the summer you also estimate hooking mortality,
right?
And I gotta say, these are all estimates. There is nobody there that counted 30,000 pounds of walleyes being caught. These are all estimates. The summer mortality, hooking mortality, is also estimates. Now, compared to the tribal netting, those are not estimates. Those are what are dead walleyes that are coming out of the lake. So Now we're dealing with one side has actual dead walleyes, and you're dealing with estimated dead walleyes.
Yeah, you're correct on that. And this winter, in the wintertime, hooking mortality is extremely low. So the great majority of that 29,800, or roughly that number, is actual harvest. So people did take home more fish. You know, the hooking mortality question, Ron, we hear it all the time. We understand. But the reality is that a dead fish is a dead fish, and it doesn't matter whether it comes out of a tribal gill net or whether it's harvested by a state angler or whether it dies via hooking mortality. And our surveys, our krill surveys that we use, have been scrutinized to the nth degree by experts around the country and have been found to be absolutely solid. You're right, they are estimates. There are error bars around that. Could it be lower? Sure. Could it be higher? Absolutely. But we have a responsibility to use the best science available to determine those things.
Well, I appreciate that. But going back to some history of Mille Lacs, used to, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it was hundreds of thousands of pounds of walleyes were taken by anglers every year. The lake is one of the great natural walleye lakes in the world. And now, suddenly, we can't take very many to go over this quota. So what changed?
Well, there are a couple of things that have changed, Ron, and the lake itself being the primary one. The water in Mille Lacs started clearing, probably due to things like better sewage treatment, better watershed practices, et cetera, back in the early to mid-90s. So that's one thing. Walleyes actually prefer more turbid water than some other species. Then you add in spiny water fleas and you add in zebra mussels, which lowers the overall productivity of the lake. And that is our current most important thing we're trying to figure out, is what is the capacity for the lake to continue to produce? How many walleyes can it produce? Yes, you're right. I mean, it's a walleye spawning factory. It's got excellent habitat all around the lake. So it's very, very rare that we don't get fry to survive. But the other thing that happened was from 2009, 10, 11, and 12, we had four very poor year classes, and then we had never seen that. So when you have a lake that is that important, and we have responsibilities through court agreements to be responsible in the management, when you see something that you've never seen before, it gives you pause, and it makes you be more conservative. And that is what has happened here.
But you said the walleye fishing is really good.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's the other issue we have right now, is we've not had a lot of good forage the last couple of years, particularly tulibee for the larger walleye. The age one tulibee are key for walleyes that are 20 inches and above as far as food. And they're... you know, they're getting better, but they were pretty skinny in our fall surveys. There's less pressure out there in the open water season, and without a lot of natural forage out there, which has definitely been affected by zebra mussels and spiny water fleas, and we're still trying to figure out exactly what that is, that's why they're biting. I mean, the fishing last summer was outstanding. I mean, anybody who went up there caught walleyes. It was excellent, and we expect the same this year, quite frankly. Well,
can you tell electronically at all, Brad? Can you use cameras and things like that, or are we not that sophisticated to get numbers off of that yet?
Yeah, with a lake the size like a Mille Lacs, any kind of surveys that you do have to be kind of long-term trend type stuff, just because of how big of a lake. I mean, 130,000 acres, so... you know, people, we do listen to reports from anglers and guides and things like that who are talking about whether they're seeing forage or not seeing forage, or how fat or thin the fish happen to be. this fall in our nest, they seemed pretty thin. I mean, actually almost record thin, particularly the bigger fish. They seem to have gotten better over the course of the winter. We did have pretty decent forage netting results last year. The problem with our forage netting, which means looking for the food, the perch and tulipy primarily, is that we've only been doing that for about 8 to 10 years. And when you're using gears like gill nets, the longer time series you have, the more faith you have in it.
Well, Brad, thank you. Maybe one last question here.
Sure.
We've been going up and down with Mille Lacs here. Like I said, 8, 10 years, I don't know exactly, but it's been a ride. A lot of frustration, as you well know. I'm sure you get the brunt of frustration and have for a long time, and your predecessor before that. Nobody's been happy with a lot of things. Yet Mille Lacs continues to be, just a great fishing lake.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to nail this down. Do you see us ever getting back to the good old days when we just had a regular walleye fishing season and maybe the limit is 4 instead of 6 or something like that?
You know, to be honest with you, Ron, I don't. Not with, like, 4. The reality, again, I mentioned how good Mille Lacs is at drawing people in. I mean, granted, part of the winter pressure this year was due to the fact that Winnie and Leech, and after about January 1st, Red were pretty much impassable. So a lot of people needed a place to go, so they went there. What we do is our goal is really to provide as much fishing opportunity as possible. And so to do that, and we've also heard that a fish in the winter is more important. So we do take social and economic things into consideration here. So we allowed a fish this winter. A lot of people came. Fishing was good. They caught as many as they did over last winter and May. So then we have to figure out, okay, how do we extend the opportunity as long as possible? Fall fishing has only happened once in the last 4 years up there. But we've heard from a lot of locals and several businesses that fall fishing is really important to people up there. They miss it, and I don't blame them. It can be some of the best times to fish. So we have to weigh these trade-offs, and the trade-offs are difficult for everybody, including us, but most difficult for the various businesses. But as you well know, Ron and Mike, there are numerous different business models up there, from campgrounds to people who rely on launches to more the mom-and-pop resorts who cater to hardcore anglers to the bigger ones who cater to families. It's impossible to please everybody when you have a limited resource. And we understand the troubles this causes for people. We get that. We're just trying to weigh the opportunity and try and take everybody's viewpoint into account, but we're not going to please everybody.
All right, Brad, appreciate it very much, and keep us updated on it.
You bet, Mike, and Ron as well. You guys hang in there and stay safe.
They're still fishing. Thank you. We'll tell you where and when we come back on Live Outdoors. Here's the way she looks tomorrow. High of 48, mainly cloudy, low of 40 degrees. Wednesday, 44 for a high, 28 for a low. Thursday, 44 for a high, 33 for a low. Friday, 48 with a chance of rain. 37 for a low, so it'll just be a cold rain if we get it. Saturday, chance of snow as it dips down to 30 degrees. Currently mostly clear and 43 degrees.
It's News Talk 830 WCCO's Live Outdoors with Ron Shera and Mike Max.
All right, bring it back. Live Outdoors. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll visit with a man that was at least through the telephone diagnosed with the coronavirus, lives here locally, and find out how he's doing since we last talked to him last week and he had the diagnosis. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Ron, joining us now. There is still fishing available. Just go down to the river, Red Wing. Eric Olson, are you there?
I am here, gentlemen.
How are you?
Fantastic.
Hanging in there, all things considered?
Yeah, all things considered, trying to wait out whatever you want to call it, the quarantine, the lockdown, whatever you want to call it. And I know the fish are biting, and they're not waiting.
Yeah, I've often said to Ron, fish don't know what's going on out here. Right, Ron?
You said that to me?
Yeah, many times.
Oh, I thought I said that to you. Eric, how are you doing this evening, Eric?
Doing all right, Ron. Doing all right. Waiting and chomping at the bit to get out and start wetting some lines, that's for sure.
Well, listen, social distancing, that fits right in on the Mississippi there. And if my memory serves me right, we're in the throes of March when river fishing should be getting pretty good. Have you been out there, or what have you heard?
Oh, I did some checking, and the fish are definitely going. There's no question about it. The only thing we have to worry about is making sure that you're able to get your boat in the water, as some of the places, Lake of the Woods, et cetera, they've closed some of the accesses up there. As of right now, the access at Everett's Resort is open, and they are going to have automated bait, so you can get bait there. The bait shop, as of now, won't be open that we know of, but that's okay. You're still able to get bait there, and you can still launch your boat on the Wisconsin side. And Minnesota back channel, that one's still open as well. But the fish are definitely going, and I think we got a nice couple of days to get out there. And as you said, Ron, social distance for sure.
Yeah. What about the access right there in Red Wing, and then the I can't think of it, is it Four Seasons bait shop? Are they closed?
Four Seasons, as of now, they're still doing some evaluation on what's open and what's not. When I checked with them earlier, they were open. But I'll have to double-check again. That before you come down, double-check and make sure what that situation is. But launch on the Minnesota side has still got ice on it, so that's not open yet, except the back channel. That's the back channel launch ramp. You can launch in the Wisconsin channel on the Minnesota side, and that's open. For business, and obviously with the water levels this year, guys, water levels are awesome. I mean, it's perfect, literally perfect.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I think if you wait a little longer, as it gets into 50, 60 degrees, as they're forecasting, that old river might start coming up, and then the fishing gets a little tougher.
Well, and it all depends on what you're going to do, Ron. I think the big thing, too, is that you adjust your baits accordingly. So when you have a dirty water scenario, everybody this time of year likes to go jigging. And you know, that's a great way to fish. There's a couple other ways that you can fish that once that water clouds up, you look at doing, we call them stacker rigs. You put two floating Rapalas about 30 inches to 50 inches apart. And then you put a big, probably a 3-ounce lead off of a three-way, and then you simply pull it upstream. It gives the fish the ability to see the bait, but you can also really spend some time trying to find out where those fish are at, whether they're on the top of the break or in the bottom. As you move slowly upstream, it gives you a real distinct advantage. You work on that the current seams and just inside, which is generally where those fish are going to hang out. And I think that's going to be the key, is being able to adapt with the water color and obviously the flow. And those kinds of things are super, super important when you're trying to be successful out there. And nonetheless, I think you're going to have a good day on the water regardless.
Now, sometimes when the river gets way up, those walleyes, they move right up into the wood, right?
Well, they'll pull up into the trees, and that's where when you're pitching jigs, that's real effective. The willows, you know, obviously further down the lake when the willows start to bloom and the water is still high, those fish will pull right up into the shoreline points. And I mean, it's crazy when you're catching these fish, big fish, in a foot and a half to 2 feet of water. I mean, it's a total rush. And
oh, yeah, you get in the shallows and watch out.
It's a blast. I got to tell you, Mike, that, you know, there's nothing more fun than pitching an 8-ounce jig.
Yep.
And you don't even have to have bait on it.
No.
Run a lot of hair jigs.
Nope.
And
hair jigs perfect.
Are just incredible. Yeah, it's just, and there's nothing like that tick at the end of the line.
That's right.
Hits that thing.
Yeah,
that,
there's no just, action like that.
No, best feeling ever.
Ron?
Best feeling ever.
Do you realize, Eric, that the guy talking to you knows absolutely nothing about all this?
I just said I was supporting everything he said. I just supported, and then now you're negating that.
Yeah, you act, Ron, like you're in a court of law. You're supporting the judge.
So. Ron, I just try to get along with everybody here. You know,
yeah, you should try that sometime, Ron.
So, Eric,
I got to tell you guys, we need to spend time in the boat this coming late spring once this is all cleared up, guys. We need to spend time out there take a little time to go wet a line.
Well, Ron told me that. I asked him about that, too, about going fishing with him, and he says, you know, no matter what happens when it's lifted, they still want us to practice social distancing, so I'm going to put you in a different boat. I don't know what that was about.
Hey, he's a professional. Don't try that at home.
Yeah. Now, Eric, you fished plenty of professional walleye tournaments. You've been very successful, but what intrigues me is that, and I'm as guilty as anybody, the river there at Red Wing area gets, I mean, my gosh, we're all scratching our itch there in March. We got to get there. But some of the better fishing in the river actually happens later. Of course, the rest of us are going to open the walleye season up north somewhere, and we forget the river. But there's still good fishing there, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. What you're going to find is the bite will go, and it changes, obviously. That's the big thing with the river. And that's a lot of times what people are intimidated by, because the river's not like a lake. But you put it in your mind that there's, you know, the 90% of the fish are in 10% of the locations. And as long as you can still keep that in mind, it's going to be helpful. You know, as the current starts dropping, as the spawn comes to a close, those fish start migrating their way down the lake. So as the river would go, the fish will migrate up, spawn, and then move back out. And once they start moving to their normal late spring and early summer haunts, I mean, you can get into some absolutely crazy fishing, because the fish are putting on the feed bag, the spawn is done, and I'm telling you what, I've had some absolutely incredible days. And you can fish it so many different ways. And, of course, social distancing, bring that up one more time. The nice part about it is everybody is spread out. And I usually like to call it putting on a milk run, simply hitting a bunch of different spots that you know that you can, you know, get with about 5-10 minutes, make sure that spot's either producing or not, and move on.
Exactly. You don't have to wait long in those situations. That's what I've always enjoyed about it. Hey, Eric, thank you so much, and hold us to that. We'll come down and fish anytime with you.
Count on it, guys. Have a great one, and be safe and be healthy.
Ron?
Thanks, Eric.
You bet, guys.
Take a break, come back, finish up with some closing thoughts from Ron Shira. They will be short ones, I'm sure. Stay with us. Welcome back, Live Outdoors, Mike Max and Ron Shira. Festive 8 o'clock hour as well. We'll check in with a guy telecommunicated that he might have coronavirus and how he's done with it over the last week since the first time we talked to him, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, plus John Wheaton on Inner City and what needs to be done there to keep kids active as well. That's all in the 8 o'clock hour. Ron, I thought I hit on something there, though. You know, I'm a big fan of the shallows, and Eric and I speak the same language there.
That goes to your thinking.
That's what I'm saying. Never gets too deep, right?
I have a new goal for you.
Yeah.
I was listening to Paul a little bit ago.
Yeah.
There's a new level of celebrity endorsements that you should get in on that Paul has already tapped, and that is, you could endorse the doctor that does your colonoscopies. I mean, really, this guy knows you better than your wife. So there you go.
Some would say that's my general physician, if you get it. Think about that one, Ron.
Yeah, I know.
Now, can you fish your river yet or not?
Well, there's nothing to catch. The river's high and rolling, but it's wide open. And
why couldn't you catch anything on there?
Well, smallmouth. The seasons are closed for one.
Right, but I mean they're rough fish. You can always catch rough fish.
That's your game, not my game.
You give me a good carp in a battle, and I'm happy.
Well, carp are good fighters. I mean, yeah. Don't belittle a carp. They're really good fighters. I thought of something else, you know, that folks can do right now. My daughter Simone came over the other day. She's the dog whisperer in our neighborhood, and she has a young lab. And she talked about how she took it to a shooting preserve the other day. This is great. This is a great time to get a 6 or 7 month old dog that's been introduced to gunfire, to take them to a shooting preserve
yep.
in the spring like this.
Yes.
Get a little extra time, because all of that adds up, especially next October.
Yes, it does. And the shooting preserves, that's a wonderful place. And, you know, some people resist them different times, et cetera. But we don't have a lot of options right now. If you want to entertain yourself and go outside and have some fun, go to one of those shooting preserves. Hunt scratch birds, whatever. Bring a dog with and let your dog get some exercise, if nothing else. But it's a great way to get out of the house.
Yeah, no, it is. And, I mean, this is something you ought to do anyway. And this is, because of the circumstances, a good time to do it. So, otherwise, I've been, like I said, sitting in the garage, as my wife says, playing with my toys, which is fishing tackle, and rearranged a big mess and then put it back all together. And now it's a different looking mess. But other than that, I'm getting along.
So what will you do this week or when before you wet a line, you think?
Well, I hope, watching the weather here, I'm going to call on Eric, or the guest that we just had, and see if he has an open seat in his boat, and then I'm going to see what you're doing. You can't be doing much. You probably shouldn't even be paid right now.
No, you're right.
No sports. And so I'm going to suggest that to the radio bigwigs there.
Too late. Already been done.
But maybe you and I could go together, and I got some cement shoes for you to wear.
Yeah, you told me you had a pair for me. That's so nice of you to give me free shoes. Say, I missed
it. I wouldn't do that.
I missed your take on it, but a week and a half ago, we celebrated Sid Hartman's 100th birthday, and, of course, you two darkened the same doors as the Star Tribune for years. What do you remember about the first time you met Sid Hartman?
Well, I don't remember the first time. I wish you'd have called me, because I had some Sid Hartman stories. Especially the time he asked me to take Billy Martin fishing, and we were going to use Sid's boat, which I didn't know he even knew that there were things like a boat.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he had a house on the St. Croix.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, he's uptown. And, so I met Sid at his house. Billy wasn't there yet. And we got on Sid's boat. It's a huge thing. You know, I said, how am I going to fish in this?
Yeah. But,
you know, it's just a party. And Sid went, turned the key, and the boat wouldn't start. The battery was dead because he left the key on the last time he used it, which was months ago. So never.
Imagine that.
Never a dull moment.
Well, Ron, you keep us posted on what you're doing, okay?
I will, and we'll meet you again the same time next Monday night. You know, tonight was supposed to be a men fish organization and the Minnesota Wild were doing a thing.
I know.
And it didn't happen. So
well,
there
you go. We'll talk about it next week again, and I'll give you some more tips on fishing the shallows.
Yeah, please. You're a shallow thinker. I like that.
Ron Sherrill, Live Outdoors with some levity. When we come back, we'll check in with the probable coronavirus patient. Stay with us.